when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for coming on, thank you for holding on, and thank you all for supporting this program, keeping us on the air. Well, as promised, I think we had a great first hour, me and Will. I think we did a good job. You know, we're kind of joined, we're kind of getting a little on the balance side, people might think, but you know what, that's just the way we roll here at Blood River Radio. Anyway, we've transitioned to the second hour, and we have two of my favorite people in the whole world on. We have my little sister, Monica, the Braveheart Schaefer. We have her coming on. Thank God for her. And we also thank God for my brother. He's a little younger than I am, I think, but not a whole lot younger. And it's Paul Fromm. We have these two people on. They're going to cover a lot of good stuff. We're going to be something I've been wanting to talk about for quite a while is with brother Alfred Schaefer, who's back in the gulag in Germany. It's too bad. Germany. The Jews will never, ever, 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 ever take their knee off the throat, off the neck of the German people, because they despise. The only people they hate as bad as the German people will probably be the Russians. And I'd say they hate the Germans more. But anyway, we're going to talk about what's going on in Germany with some people that are considered almost untouchable that come to find out they're not untouchable. And we're going to talk about all things Canada and anything else that Paul Fromm and Sister Monica Schaefer want to talk about. So we'll just introduce them right now. How you doing, Sister Braveheart?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much, Eddie. It's good to be back. And I did listen to perhaps the second half of your first hour, and I was just really, really inspired. You had an excellent guest on. And yeah, that was very, very good. So I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you so much, Sister Monica. Just in case you're tuning in, Sister Monica was referring to, we covered an article about what's going on in Ireland now. Our white brothers and sisters in Ireland, they're tired of the BS. They've gotten in the streets, and if the cops wanted to get in the way, they'll just get rolled up. They'll get bowled over. They actually, you know, Paul, I don't know if you heard or not, but the Irish people actually burned a hotel down and smoked the rats, the vermins out from North Africa. And when they came out, they beat the living hell out of them. And the cops, you know what? The cops were just sitting aside, twiddling their thumbs, watching their other white brothers and sisters go. But anyway, we talked about that in the first hour. That's what Sister Monica was referring to. But how you doing, Brother Paul?
I'm doing well. That is so encouraging because, throughout most of Europe, not all, but most of it, and certainly Canada, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand, we, the European the European indigenous people in Europe and the European founding settler people in Canada and the United States have been massively betrayed by our evil elites who have orchestrated the Third World Invasion. They didn't just let it in, they orchestrated it. And, I know a lot about the Irish cause, and for 400 years they suffered under English occupation, they struggled for 400 years, and finally in 1922 they gained their independence. And to see that within a trifle more than a century, all of that was given away by their elite, allowing a massive Third World Invasion. You know, they thought things were rough under the English. But the English are, the same color, to some extent even the same religion, very similar culture. They didn't like that. Ireland wanted its independence and its own culture to thrive, and it got that. And then that, to have it given away. So to see the to see angry Irishmen up in arms and doing something about it, that's great. That there has to be that. And I'm seeing I had a young speaker who's part of the new generation speak to us on Thursday night in Toronto, and we'll speak in Hamilton tomorrow. And I'm very encouraged. When I say young, that's 35. I don't know. It's all a matter of perspective. But I guess when we were younger, Eddie, we heard our contemporaries say, don't trust anybody over 30. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
But what was so encouraging is this young fellow is part of a number of groups, not just one, but who have staged protests against the invasion. They've had banners like White Lives Matter, Deportation Now, and really hardcore, and they do it intelligently, because we as in the United States have a problem with Antifa, and what they do is they don't announce the demonstration in advance. They go and do it, and thus there's almost no confrontation. They do something dramatic, and then they do it and put it on video, put it up on the internet, and a couple of days later the enemy finds out about it, and usually the local mayor will denounce hate, and the local newspaper will rant and rave about diversity being our greatest strength, and just publicize the idea. So I like their tactics, maybe because they're partly the tactics I've also had to develop over the past few years, because it's important for leaders to keep their people safe as much as possible. I don't know from your Army days if you'd agree or not, but Eddie, but you never go into a barroom fight unless you think you can win it. I mean, don't call the big guy out who's sitting there in his cups, looking kind of mean. Don't, you know, tell him that his mother, we won't be vulgar, but something nasty about his mother. If you don't think you can beat him, because you don't want him to get up there and clean your clock.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying is that discretion sometimes can be the better part of valor. We used to say, we ain't got no sense. We ain't got no sense. We ain't got no education. We just going there, you know, caution to the wind. But, you know, I was talking to Sister Monica. I think you heard, too. We were talking about Brother Alfred. If you would, Sister Monica, yeah. Would you mind? Would you like to start talking about? I know everybody wants to know how Alfred,
yes.
How your brother Alfred is doing. I'm standing out of the way now. Go
okay.
ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, I'll just give you a little update, because I haven't been on your program since the latest arrest. So just a summary of the last few months. July 7th. He was arrested, and he was in jail in Augsburg, Germany, for a month. That was for, you know, missing a court appearance in April, and I had explained all that on my website as well. But anyway, then on August 7th, they had the trial for that, and he was sentenced to 10 months in jail, but the judge said go home until this is legally binding, because also the prosecution filed for an appeal wanting more jail time. But in the meantime, the judge said, go home until it's legally binding, and then we'll send you a letter to show up in prison, right? So he goes home. So that was July 7th and August 7th out. And then 2 months later, October 7th, always on the 7th. I don't know if there's any, you know, if that was a pattern. They like their numbers. And it also happened to be the anniversary of, you know, that false flag in Israel there, the supposed, right, October 7th. Then they came to his home, and it was a complete surprise, because, I mean, the judge had sent him home, right? And there was no letter in the meantime, but it was a different jurisdiction that came and took him away. It was Munich now, and he is now incarcerated on remand, awaiting a trial based on a pile, like many, many, many accusations against him, and they just figured, oh, this is so heavy duty, this is so evil and so bad that he's a flight risk. So they came and picked him up. So it was not to do with the other case where they sent him home. I don't know if they had talked to each other and coordinated all this. I don't know. Maybe. But nevertheless, this is different charges, different accusations against him. So he is in jail on remand right now in Munich, where he was in 2018 till, you know, for the first part of that 4-year prison sentence. You know, he was there for about a year and a half before they sent him off to Landsberg at that time. And I hear the music, so we'll resume after the break.
Well, I can't wait to hear the rest of it, Sister Monica. I'll be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you
have to say. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. Without further ado, we're going to go back to Sister Monica. Basically, what we're talking about right now is the complete erosion of anything to do with any type of liberty, any type of freedom in Germany, in the United States too. Don't kid yourself and think
we're
immune. And Canada, of course. But Sister Monica, I was going to say, before I go back to you, this fellow I was mentioning, his name is Norbert Bolz, NORBERTBOLZ. He was a retired professor of media science at Berlin Technical University. And he was, I won't say he was arrested. I believe he was arrested. I know his house was ransacked too. But Sister Monica and Paul, Brother Paul, this is what's important. I think they went back several years on something that he had said, and he said that was Germany awakening. And he used the phrase, they said that the brown shirts, who was it, the Free Corps. I want, well, anyway, not the SS, yeah. But it was It was a phrase they used during the 30s, saying that the German people are awakening. The German people are awake. They're learning out. In other words, they were thinking he was referring. That could be construed, that statement he made, is to he was going back and sympathizing with our brothers, our soldiers in Germany in the 30s, saying that we are awake. And that could be, it's just a short jump to say we're awake to who controls us. It's the damn eternal Jew. So I think if I can find an article, I'll make sure I'm right about that. But I think they were worried about that he was saying something nice about the German army, Second World War. I'll say the brown shirts, but go ahead, Sister Monica.
And of course, that will lead to the next Holocaust. That's always the narrative, Eddie, that if,
yes,
you know, they will. And this ties in to this other home invasion that they did on a fellow named Jürgen Totenhofer in Munich, and he was pretty mainstream too. He's in a party, like a political party. He was speaking at a recent peace rally, and they are talking about peace in Israel for the Palestinians, and he said something that was critical of Netanyahu, but he compared the Israeli atrocities against the Palestinians with those Nazis. So you know by that statement that he's still mainstream, still vilifying his own people, as in they did this thing called the Holocaust. So he's either not awake or he, like so many German people, I mean, they've got several generations worth of re-education having happened now, a la George Orwell style. So it could be that he just genuinely doesn't know, or he really is, you know, controlled opposition that does know, but he's put into this position. And now if they're doing home raids, and this is now big media stories about these people, like the one you mentioned, Norbert Boltz in Berlin and Jürgen Totenhofer in Munich, but they're still mainstream on that other narrative, still thinking the Germans were evil, but any criticism of the Jews now, that will lead to, drum roll please, the next Holocaust, right?
So yes.
This is how they're packaging it. I'll pause and let Paul comment.
Go ahead, Paul. Do we lose Paul?
Yeah, it's not good connection or something.
Oh. Well, I'll just
okay.
Go ahead.
Just to finish, because before the break, Eddie, we were talking about Alfred, and I just wanted to summarize that by saying that if people would and could please write to him, this is very important. We cannot underestimate the power of the political prisoner receiving many letters, not only for the political prisoner himself, but also for the so-called authorities to see that the political prisoner is not forgotten, that we are noticing, we are seeing. So anyway, his address, I have posted it on a couple of websites. There's the freespeechmonica.com. So that's Monica with a K, freespeechmonica.com, and on the political prisoners page there, and also on the truthandjusticeforgermans.com. So there, his address is on either of those websites. You could visit those websites and, you know, read a couple articles there, if browse around a little bit too, but find that address for Alfred Schaefer in the Stadelheim prison, and please do consider writing a letter or a postcard, just a short greeting, anything like that. Maybe Paul's back now. We were talking.
If I could add to that, I've supported a number of political prisoners, of course, Alfred for years, and Monica when she was in prison, and others, and everybody says what a joy and what a lift it is to receive a letter or a postcard, and especially from foreign countries, for even from people you don't know. So you folks in the United States and up here in the Dominion of Canada, it's so important, you know, you get that that address off Monica's website, and even just drop a postcard. You don't have to say anything profound, and it's probably better if you don't say anything too provocative. And it means so much, and believe me, it sends a message to the oppressors. I know here in the Dominion of Canada, we people like Brad Love and others who've been in jail. They're local phenomena. The guards and the other prisoners, you know, talk. Wow, Brad got a letter from England. He got a letter from Australia. You know, you become a somebody. I don't mean to be nasty. Not everybody in prison's a loser, but many of them, you know, they are. They're the kind of bottom end of society, and so on. And you know, it's they don't have a lot of friends in many cases, and so. To see somebody else getting cards and letters, it makes that person quite rightly into a celebrity, because they are a political prisoner. Whether it's Alfred Schaefer or some of the other people that we've talked about, they're political prisoners. They're special. They didn't mug some old lady. They didn't rob a bank. They didn't murder somebody. If they murdered anything, they murdered a pack of lies.
Very good, Paul, and thank you so much. And I just have to underline everything you said. Now, Paul, I don't know if you heard what we were talking about just after coming back from break, because it seemed like we lost you a little bit, but we were talking about these arrests, house raids, I think, of Jürgen Todenhofer in Munich and Norbert Bolz in Berlin, both of whom are still very mainstream in their thinking about, you know, World War II history and the German history, but they are protesting against, you know, the things going on in Gaza, and they were criticizing Netanyahu. And I was commenting how I don't know if this is some kind of a strategy now to reinforce the lies of World War II against the Germans, always against the Germans, because, you know, if you do any criticism of the Jews, that leads to the next Holocaust, was basically summing it up, how that goes. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I don't know about the next Holocaust. Was there a previous one?
Right. Well, that's the point I'm making.
I know. I'm only asking because I'm in Canada and we have a state religion. It's the religion of Holocaust. So I'm not saying I don't believe, brother, but I do have the odd doubt. But there certainly is a Holocaust. I'm quite confident of that going on in Gaza. Even despite the ceasefire, the Israelis are still shooting and killing people and bombing places. And it's, you know, I'm not a great fan of Arabs. I certainly don't want them in my country. But, you know, what's going on there is horrific. It's enough to make an alligator vomit.
Yeah, and, you know, back to this thing about political prisoners, and, you know, Paul and I discussed about an hour ago before the show here about a Canadian political prisoner, and I do want to bring him up. We don't really have all the details right now, but his name is Kenneth, and you pronounce his last name Pauline. Paulin, like Paulin.
Poulin.
Okay, so he also goes by Son of Enos. Now, I did not know that until 2 days ago, that is the same, one and the same. I am just in the throes of finding out more about him, more detail. I do have his address up on my website as well, and he's a Canadian political prisoner. Now, we had all been under the impression that he was the first Canadian charged with this Holocaust denial law, but apparently that information comes from the, what did you say, Paul, the Simon Wiesenthal? Was the source
of
that?
The Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And what you were telling me earlier today is that it's not true.
Correct.
And it's you know, I think we need to look more closely into it. Because it's funny that they would claim it was, because it's a big victory for them. You know, they got their law passed, and now they have their first victim. If he was convicted under another aspect of a hate law, well, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, that makes sense that they would want it to put the fear into people that it was indeed the Holocaust denial law or religion.
Well, y'all, we'll come right back to that. We got to take a quick bottom of the hour break. This is a longer break, folks. You got plenty of time. Use the restroom, get your coffee, whatever you want to, but don't be gone more than about 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. There's been a deadly weekend party in North Carolina.
The sheriff in Robeson County, North Carolina, says 13 people were shot at a large weekend party near Maxton in the southeastern part of the state. Two of the 13 were killed. Authorities say more than 150 people fled the scene of the party when officers arrived, and they're asking anyone with information about what happened to contact sheriff's investigators. Authorities say no one has been arrested, but there is no current threat to the community, and the shooting appears to be an isolated incident. I'm Donna Water.
This past week, President Trump and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese signed a critical minerals deal at the White House as the U.S. eyes the continent. Rich rare earth resources. Economist Steve Moore finds it shocking that the U.S. depends on China for critical minerals.
The United States has more of these minerals, the critical minerals, the precious minerals, the rare earths, than any other country in the world. We got them in Colorado. We got them in Utah. We got them in the Dakotas. We got them in California. We got them in West Virginia. Why aren't we haven't been mining in this country since Bill Clinton put moratoriums on mining, and we have put ourselves in this position.
J.P. Morgan Chase wants out of paying a $115 million legal tab for convicted fraudsters.
For nearly 3 years, J.P. Morgan Chase has picked up the legal tab of Charlie Javis and Olivier Amar, the two convicted fraudsters who sold their financial aid startup Frank to the bank. But the bank said in a court filing late Friday that the two have racked up an astronomical nine-figure legal bill that far exceeds any reasonable amount that the two may have needed for their defense. According to the filing, Javis's team of lawyers across five law firms have billed J.P. Morgan approximately $60.1 million in legal fees and expenses, while Amar's lawyers have billed the bank roughly $55.2 million in fees. Bernie Bennett reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, then this message is definitely one you need to hear. The price of one troy ounce of silver has more than doubled in the past 24 months, and silver is poised for huge gains in the near term. That's why when you call Advantage Gold at 800-741-GOLD, you'll be positioned for the next wave of dramatic growth in precious metals. The devaluation of the U.S. dollar and the volatility of the stock market all play a part in why silver continues to be a safe haven location for your assets, and why precious metals continue to dominate in an uncertain financial climate. Learn more when you call 800-741-GOLD. We'll send you a free precious metals guide, plus a copy of former IMF Chairman Ken Rogoff's book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. The time is now for you to consider silver to protect your retirement. Call Advantage Gold at 800-741-4653 right now. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-741-GOLD.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. we propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I don't think I can be reached. I'm sorry. I really don't think so. But dear people, I forgot to make an announcement on the first hour. I meant to. Next week, if you will, keep me in your prayers. I'll be in New York. We'll be leaving out of here. We'll be leaving Memphrica on a Wednesday. And we'll, I probably shouldn't, I'm probably giving too many details for our Antifa. But I'm probably flying under the radar. And then we'll go to Nashville. On Thursday, we'll be flying out of Nashville into New York. And then by Thursday afternoon, I'll be in the Jacob Javits Events Center. I think that was the 12th Avenue. But anyway, or 12th Street, whatever. I know exactly how to get there, but I just forgot the name of the streets. But anyway, I'll be there getting ready for the New York Marathon. That'll be my 7th New York Marathon since I was 67 years old the first time I ran New York. And I won't be running the whole thing because everybody knows, mama knows, I had cardiac surgery May the 14th. They've medicine been screwing with my medicine a lot. It's just I've had some of attacks of supraventricular tachycardia. That ain't fun at all, I'm here to tell you. I carry this drug. It's called I've got several, what they call selective beta blockers. They act supposedly only on the heart. I carry those. Just, I know you people need to know this. It's kind of an unorthodox treatment. I grind the beta blocker up, either metoprolol or propranolol, either one of those. They work good. And I grind them up into a fine powder. I carry it in a little vial. And when I have these attacks, I lie down, prop my legs up on a tree or whatever I am, and I put the powder under my tongue. It's in medical terms, it's called sublingual. It means it's under your tongue. And it gets in your system faster that way. I've had good luck that way. Anyway, long story. I made that too long a story. I will be out next week. We probably will have to do a rerun. I would love to have other people do the show for me, but I guess we won't do that. We'll do a rerun next week. So just keep me in your prayers. Hope that I will not have an attack of SVT because it ain't no fun at all. My goal is to make it to what they call the Queensboro Bridge. It's also called the Ed Koch Bridge. The 47th Street Bridge, it's got about five names, but it is the mother of all bridges. And except for the Verrazano Straits Bridge, is like I was telling Paul during the break, and Sister Monica, it's 2 miles and about 50 meters across. It is a booger. It's about nine-tenths of a mile incline going up. Of course, that's how you'd have the starting line on a 9/10 mile incline. But anyway, I got to shut the hell up. Enough about my marathons already. I'll be there next week, and I'm going to try to do the half, and then I'll call my daughter and say, here, I'm here at the Ed Koch Bridge. Come and get me wherever the hell you are. She knows New York like the back of her hand. She'll come get me on the subway. And then we're going to meet Frank White. Everybody knows Frank White. He's taking us all out to eat probably Monday night, him and all the crew, all of my neo-Nazi buddies up there. Well, although I got to shut the hell up. I'll say one more thing. I'm not a neo-Nazi. I'm the real, by God, real deal Nazi. My grandfather was Hermann frigging Göring. At least that's what I told the Antifa up there, Montgomery. Hell, I said, you're no neo-Nazi. I said, hell no, I'm not a neo-Nazi. I'm the, by God, real Nazi. I make the neo-Nazis look like Mother Teresa, you son of a bitch. Anyway, I got to shut the hell up before I get us all kicked off the air. Brother Paul, I think you were the last, the one who, talking last. My poor old memory doesn't keep up too good, so we'll just go right back to you.
Well, I think we were ending up on the importance of supporting our political prisoners, or as I used to say in the Irish Rebel songs, the men behind the wire, or the, actually the men and women behind the wire. These people, I would argue and have for years, fit Amnesty International's definition of a political prisoner, and it's very simple. A person who is punished, not even necessarily put in jail, but punished solely for the nonviolent expression of their political or religious or cultural views. So in the case of Alfred Schaeffer, it's his political and I guess maybe historical views. In the case of Monica, when she was in jail, the same. And these latest German gentlemen that are under house arrest, apparently their views on that mass murdering murderer Netanyahu. And, you know, to Canada's credit, and the credit of our present prime minister, and it almost hurts me to say this, he was asked recently, if Netanyahu showed up in Canada, would he be arrested? And Mark Carney, Prime Minister Carney, said yes, because there's an international warrant for him from the International Court of Justice in The Hague. I'm not sure I really go along with that international court, and your country doesn't recognize it, but the local Zionist lobby are going starkers over this. The wrong answer, said Abby Ben-Lolo, who used to be a heavy hitter with the Friends of the Simon Wiesenthal Center and then had some sort of breakup with them, but he's got his own outfit now, but he gets a weekly column in the National Post. It's always the same stuff. Oh boo-hoo-hoo, you know, the Jews are so persecuted, and there's another Holocaust right around the corner. but Netanyahu, you know, is accused of being a war criminal. They haven't had a trial yet, but as an accused, there's a warrant out for him. And there are a fair number of countries in the world where he can't go. And apparently, Canada is one of them. If his sorry butt were to land at Toronto International Airport, they put him in handcuffs. So they say. It's too good to be true.
Well, I almost forgot to make one more announcement, y'all. You know, we're always trying to raise money for political, for the Blood River Radio. We have these lampshades on sale, and we have soap made out of the hide. We got some of our friends to save us some. We didn't actually kill the Jews ourselves, but we got some lampshades and some soap that was left over from Auschwitz, I believe it was, Paul. And we've got them on special this week. So if you want a lampshade made out of the hide of a poor Jewish, Holocaust victim, this is your place to get it. And we also have some soap too, made out of the hide. I think it was of the victims. They made soap out of and all that rot.
Made out of the fat, out of those starving victims. You know, the ones they always show the pictures of who are just skin and bones, like made out of their fat. And I really would like to get some of that soap because I'd I would like nothing more than to scrub down with the, you know, the Jew fat soap. Like, wow.
Well, it's $5 extra if it comes from a rabbi, from a starving rabbi from Barca. Yes, it's been certified. As a matter of fact, it has the orthodoxy. It's the kosher. It's been blessed by the local rabbi here, the kosher soap. So we can, we'll give you the big discount, the Blood Believer Radio co-host discount. But anyway, I guess I hope I didn't get you too far off track there, Sister Monica. Where would you like to go from here?
Well, I've kind of covered the things that we had already thought about covering. I mean, there's, you know, I'm not sure, maybe Paul has an idea. There's lots to talk about. I mean, the situation in Canada with some of the laws that are in the wings, Bill C-8, Bill C-9, which pretty much would, you know, can put you down for life type of thing if you even online post, or even if you they think you might do something because of the, now they're, you know, thought police, and they can read your minds, what you might be thinking and what you might do in the future. I mean, Paul should probably talk about these, the specific things that are in the wings, and if these laws get passed, like, this is pretty serious stuff. Do you want to go there, Paul?
Yes, it's quite a long story, but I'll hear a couple of highlights. So these two pieces of anti-free speech legislation, as Monica was saying, the bills C-8 and C-9. C-9 has some very, very worrisome features. One is that it will outlaw the public display of certain banners and flags if they're associated with terrorist organizations, whatever that might be. And, of course, the swastika. Well, you know, the swastika was the flag of a government that lasted 12 years. It's a historical symbol. It's rather complicated. Would the display of the symbol alone violate the law, or would it have to be in, as part of willfully promoting hate against Jews? Well, I can see two scenarios. You have a public meeting, and you have a swastika there.
Oh. Paul, we're going to go to our last break in the second hour, but hold that story. We'll go right back to it as we come back. Be right back, people. Don't go far. It's a short break.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, we had a wonderful conversation during the break with Sister Monica and Brother Paul. And Brother Paul's going to give a piece of evidence that it just drives us, one of the many evidences, hundreds of them, thousands of them, that come together to make a sharp stake to drive into the heart of the Holo hoax, to bust that myth wide open. And I will say one more thing that Sister Monica coined on this show years ago. If we can ever bust that Holocaust lie, that is the linchpin lie that holds all the other lies together. And that's why they're so petrified that the truth will get out. And that's why they're doing anything possible. They'll lock people up in jail, like Brother Alfred, like these big time journalists, locking them up, college professors. They'll do anything. They'll kill you to keep this story from getting out. But anyway, go ahead, Brother Paul.
Yeah, earlier you and Monica were being satirical about soap and that is, of course, a hoax. It's a lie. There was never a soap made out of human fat. But
and just to point out, I just interject here, Paul, that even the Jewish historians, even the official Holocaust Jewish historians, have admitted that the lampshades, the soap, and the shrunken heads, that was lies, and it was just, you know, propaganda, atrocity propaganda, but it was lies. So they've admitted it.
I don't know about the soap, but the shrunken heads and the lampshades were a World War One story.
Oh, wow.
And by the 20s, by the mid-20s, it was generally agreed, yeah, they were lies, they were exaggerations. But, you know, in wartime, you have to motivate ordinary men who maybe yesterday were a shopkeeper or assembly line worker or a farmer. You've got to motivate ordinary men to go and try to kill people who more or less look like them on the other side. So you need atrocity stories, propaganda stories. You know, and I'm not saying there aren't ever any atrocities committed. Sure, there are, but you need to make the other man, the other fellow, a monster. So those two stories. I'm not sure about the soap, but the shrunken heads and the lampshades were World War One stories, and they were by the mid 20s they were discredited. No serious person, no historian, believed them anymore. But after World War II, they reinvent them. So you know you have to use a little bit of logic. And on the soap story, one of the greatest soap artists of them all was this guy named E.E. Wiesel, and he wrote a number of books very very anti-German. In fact, in one of his books. And we quoted this at the Zundel trial, is the remarks to the effect that every person must keep in a corner of his heart a hatred for that which is German. So, you know, they always yap on about hate and hate literature and hate speech. They're the ones who promote hate. Weasel said, you have to keep up in a portion of your heart the hatred for the German people. That's why Monica and I and others are so involved in this Truth and Justice for German People movement. You know, the German people need to be, the truth needs to be told about them. They've been lied to and abused. But Weasel passed away, I'll say maybe 10 years ago or so, and the Globe and Mail, which is the main paper, the paper record in Canada, like the New York Times, it reproduced the New York Times obituary for the E.E. Wiesel. And it was interesting. They had a couple of pictures of him. And one picture was from the time he was freed by the Americans from, I'm going to say Dachau, but I might be wrong, but it was a detention camp in southern Germany. He'd been in Auschwitz, or so he said, and in January 1945, as the Russians were approaching, the Germans gave the workers, I mean the prisoners or whatever you want to call them, a choice: wait here for a few days until the Russian armies come, and go with them, or come west with us. Now, E.E. Wiesel, who made a hill of money out of defaming Germans and moaning on about the Holocaust. What did he do? Did he wait for the Russians? No, he went west with the Germans. Well, when they got deeper into Germany, he was reinterned. And as I say, I think it was in Dachau. But the New York Times had a picture of him and several others as they were freed from Dachau. And here he is, a big, strapping young guy, in his, I guess in his, well into his 20s, hefty looking. I wouldn't say fat, but, you know, robust. And you just shake your head. I mean, we were told they were starved and blah, 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 starved to death and abused. Well, the Ely Weasel sure didn't look... He looked pretty healthy to me, and that's my point. So much of what we've been told is just regurgitated lies. And one of our tasks, Eddie and Monica, is to be truth tellers, truth seekers, yes, and truth tellers. There's a new group in Vancouver that used to be have a different name. It's now reforming as the Truth Seekers, and they're all interested people with coming at things from different points of view, but they're prepared to look at, commonly told stories and see if they're true or not, and I'm going to be privileged to talk to them in a couple of weeks' time on a Thursday night in Vancouver.
That's very, very, very good, Paul. And, you know, this Eli Weasel, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but that's a very important story. I'm so glad you brought it up because I had, you know, known that story before, but I think it is very important to repeat these things like his own words. Everyone must keep a corner of, you know, in their hearts, in a corner of their hearts, hatred. A good, healthy hatred for the Germans. This is what this Jew said. And then, you know, being having the choice to go with the Germans when they were liberated from these work camps or to wait for the Russians. Oh, well, those evil, evil Germans, he decided to go with them. I mean, this is important, and that is documented history. And he has written those things in the books, right? So... Yeah, yes. Extremely important. Thank you for bringing that up. It really is good. Yeah, good. Go ahead.
It's such absolute hypocrisy. If it were true, he'd be horribly treated in Auschwitz. Wouldn't you wait for the Russians? And I don't know if he was pro-communist or not. It probably, but you know, I don't know that for a fact. But wouldn't you wait for the Russians? Would you go west with the people who someday you would say did all these terrible things? I mean, that is beyond bizarre. And yeah. Well, it kind of makes you wonder, was he telling the truth the rest of his life or embellishing his stories? I mean, when I was very young, I would still run into old vets, especially ones in taverns who, after a few too many beers, would go on with more and more embellished war stories of you know, how they practically won the war themselves. Well, there's another group of people who I think like to embellish stories about World War II, but it's not how they, you know, won the war single-handedly. It's how they were terribly abused and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they start that propaganda war very early. You know, this is kind of an anecdotal story, but I can remember when I was a real small child, six years old, seven at the most. Back in the day, we had neighborhood theaters. We had one called the old Rosewood Theater. It's been defunct for years and years and years. But I remember, and I didn't think about it, the significance of it until I got much older, but they used to show us during intermission between, in those days you'd go, you have one or two movies and just a lot, many, many cartoons, but they would show these, I didn't know what they were at the time, they were showing us films of when the Allies came in and freed the concentration camps and showed all these dead bodies stacked up and all that stuff, and it actually sent me into depression at time for days at a time. I never thought about it. I never told anybody when I was a kid. But the you know what? The propaganda was in the public, in the movie theaters in those days, brainwashing children, because these were matinees movies I'm telling you about during the summer, and it was just strictly children. The cowboy movies, movies like that, Tarzan and stuff like that, just strictly kiddie movies, and they're no adults, and they were feeding us that crap then. So it's
great,
just
great time to do, you know, mind control is when people are being entertained.
Yes. With Sister Monica and Brother Paul, we've run completely out of time for this hour. Brother Paul, hang on for a second. I'll talk to you during the break. But thank you so much, Sister Monica. Thank you so much, Sister Paul. Thank you, Jeremiah, for making this run so smoothly so far. We have one more hour. People, we got to go to the third hour. We're transitioning. We're going to pick up Jason Robb. He's going to come in and tell us all things about the Klan. Be right back, folks.
Well, thank you so much, Eddie, and it was a pleasure being on with you and Paul. Bye-bye.
Super pleasure being on with you. Bye-bye, Rick.